Okay, so we know where we are. Obviously, I've been alluding to that. You have it in your outline. Exodus 20 says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that Yahweh your God is giving you. Now, here is our catechism explanation, exposition of that. They also speak of the promise and so forth. But this is the heart of it. What does the fifth commandment require? It requires us to respect and treat others, whether above, below, or equal to us, as their position or our relationship to them demands. What does the fifth commandment forbid? It forbids being disrespectful to or not treating others as their position or relationship to us demands. And so I wonder, when you've heard that just now, if you go, huh, what about obeying your parents? Because it's not mentioned here, and in the rest of it, it's not explicitly stated. When you get to the commandment on you shall not murder, very clear about you don't murder and you preserve life. When it gets to the rest of the commands, you know, it's very specific. But why here, as we begin this second half, why is it stated like this? Well, this is your pastor's take on it. I didn't read this in a book, but I think this is what's going on. The confession writers believed at this point what they needed to do is focus on the principle of the commandment rather than just the particular commandment itself, the underlying principle, and how that affects every sphere of life. In other words, the principle behind honoring our parents is the same principle behind submitting to all forms of authority that God has set up in the world. In other words, parental authority, church authority, civil authority, employees, employers, I spelled one of those wrong, and so forth. So the confession writers believed that the thing that it's almost as if the confession writers, because they, and I, again, I wasn't there and I wasn't in the bathroom listening. So, you know, but it's almost as if as they're writing this, they're assuming the parents tell them to obey them. That the parents tell them, yes, of course, the commandment tells you to obey us. That's explicit. But what is the principle that underlies that, and how important it is? Now, maybe coming at it from a little different angle, the way that Kevin DeYoung says it, and again, it's not saying exactly the same thing, but I think it highlights this idea that there's the specific command, honor your parents, but there's this critical principle behind it. So he basically says, I'm not quoting him here, but I got it from him. And it's a no-brainer, right? The first four laws have to do with our relationship with God. Of course, we understand that. You shall have no other gods before you. And out of worshiping only the one true God leads you worship him the right way, not by idols, that you reverence his name, don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain, and so forth. And then honor his day. You have a specific day each week to give yourselves to worship. So you see how that first commandment is not only the first commandment, but there's a sense in which it undergirds, it's foundational to the next three. The next three, logically, if you will, flow out of that one. Well, in a sense, that's now what's happening as we transition to the second half of the Ten Commandments with honor your father and mother. Is it the fifth command? Yes. But it's also the one that, in a sense, undergirds the last six commands. Can I make that case biblically? I think I can. Look at Matthew 22. We have a parallel in Mark that we studied several months back, but here you go. Jesus is asked the question, and he answers about the greatest commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, very often we stop there, at least in terms of our thinking about it, or at least I do. I'm not trying to accuse you, but then what does it say after that? On these two commandments depend the law and the prophets. When Jesus uses the word law and the prophets, what does he mean? The rest of the Bible. So on these two commandments, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. They're all the whole of the Old Testament, in a sense, is under that. Now, keep in mind that's the big picture. There's the gospel. There's trusting in Christ. But having done that, either as an Old Testament believer looking ahead or a New Testament believer looking back, still we're sent back to the law to obey. Well, the law here, the summary here says, love your neighbor as yourself. But there's a sense in which you don't know how to love your neighbor if you don't first start with honoring your parents. It's from that parental authority grid, that family relationship, that we learn how to properly love. Do I need to make the case for us? We all know by experience, by watching our society, right? It's pretty evident, isn't it? Generally speaking, always exceptions, right? There's always those rotten parents who have a kid that turns out pretty good. And then there's the godly parents whose child or children go wayward. Okay, we know that. But the general principle is those that are behaving in society probably had two parents that love them, care for them, and raise them. And so, in other words, you could have made the point that, well, you know, not murdering people, that's pretty important. Maybe that ought to be the fifth commandment. Or not coveting. I mean, that's a matter of the heart. Maybe we should make that. But God in his wisdom says, no, no. The foundation is the family. If we don't get the family right, everything else is down the toilet. It's down, you know, we're in chaosville. So I hope, so this is how Kevin DeYoung says it. I think it's on the back. I don't know where it is on your outline. Parental authority is foundational. This fifth commandment then is a transition from the first table to the second table. If the foundation for the first table was the first commandment, then the foundation for the second table is the fifth commandment. We may not think of it that way, but it's certainly the case. Honor your father and mother is the foundation upon which love for our neighbor is built. And I think he's making a critical point. And I don't think it's controversial for us. Again, we may not have thought of it just that way. But we know the home for Christian families, but for society, is critical. We know that. As goes the family life, so goes a society. Kevin DeYoung, not one to make quote political statements, and this is not really political, but he says whenever you see a society or a government seek to be totalitarian, can I say Marxist or of something of that sort, where they want to control the people, what will they attack? The family. Why? Because that's the strongest bond. And that's where authority structure is given the proper perspective. And so it's attacked. Well, what about this whole thing of honoring parents? Isn't it interesting? Again, the wisdom of God, it's just a few words, right? Honor your father and mother. It doesn't say here, obey. Paul will later in Ephesians 6 say, obey your parents. And then he'll quote the commandment, honor your parents. Why did God choose the word honor? It's kind of like when we looked at the Lord's Day, where God in his wisdom says, remember the Lord's Day. Implication, it only happens once a week. You got to prepare. Well, why here does God in his wisdom not just simply say obey, but he says honor? Because honor's bigger than obey. The whole idea of honoring someone. I mean, we very much rightly associate the honoring thing with God. We honor God. We glorify God. We worship God. The notion of the word honor is something that has weight, that is importance, significance. So kids are told not simply to obey. They are, of course, to do that. That's implied. But they're told more so, more foundationally, to honor. Because y'all are wonderful people. No, we're all sinners. But we are, God did put us in a place of authority over them. And so they are supposed to honor that authority. That's what we had to do when we were children, and we fought against that too, because we're all fallen sinners, and that's our nature, to resist authority. So is it a big deal? When I read this passage to you, and some of y'all probably cheated and read ahead. Joan, did you cheat? Okay, I knew it. Well, I'm just going to read it, and then let's think for a few minutes together about it. This is part of God's law in the book of Deuteronomy. This is an exposition of the commandment, and it's also, you might say, a part of the penal code. Remember, when God gives his law to his people, God is not only their God spiritually, he's their king. And the rulers in authority are to carry out not only God's spiritual rules, but civil rules. And those civil rules included punishment. Now, we don't do this today because a lot of people would be dead if we did. We might be better off. But now, of course, in the era we live, a church discipline has replaced punishment in the civil sphere. Okay? But nonetheless, there's significance here. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city at the gate of the place where he lives, and they shall say to the elders of the city, this is our son. This our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He's a glutton and a drunkard. Now, he may not be a glutton and a drunkard. He might have other outward sins that express his rebellion. I think what God is doing through Moses here is giving us a real life example. Here's an older kid that's not obeying his parents. He's gotten, all he does is eat and drink and get drunk, and he doesn't submit to their authority. Okay, that's what I think is going on here. Then all the men in that city will stand up and say, bad boy. No, of course it doesn't say that. Then all the men of that city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear. That's incredible. I mean, hopefully none of us had the experience where we had a child or grandchild and they seemed more like, instead of a covenant child, a son of the devil. But we've seen others, if not ours. And it's a sad thing as part of living in a fallen world. But God had an answer for it. You may say, well, that's so harsh. Well, again, we don't live in this era. We're not to do that. But what it does illustrate is that there are children that can be raised right, and they're still stubborn and rebellious. Now, I got this again from Kevin DeYoung, but it's right out of Calvin's Institutes. And, you know, Calvin's not perfect. Calvin wouldn't necessarily agree with everything the PCA teaches. Remember, he's the reason there is a PCA. Humanly speaking, Calvin is one of the forerunners, okay? So on the but there's a lot of wisdom. Calvin's Institutes, oh my goodness. If you read nothing else but those Institutes, I mean, he wrote commentaries and preached sermons on, I think, every book of the Bible except the book of Revelation, Benny. So I don't know. I just thought I'd throw that out to you. But one book of the Bible, I feel good about that because I've never preached through Revelation. But notice what he says. Nature itself ought, in a way, to teach us this. Those who abusively or stubbornly violate parental authority are monsters. They're monsters. They're not men. Calvin said it. He also calls a lot of people stupid, and I get a kick out of that. I mean, they're heretics, okay? They're not just people Calvin doesn't like. I mean, they're heretics. But isn't there you see a rebellious child that will not submit to parents? Yeah, monster is a good description. I hope I'm not depressing y'all. But then Calvin gives three keys to how kids should honor parents, to reverence them, to obey them, and to express gratitude. I thought it was so interesting hearing Brenda as the parent express her gratitude for the kids and how they've honored you. So instead of them, well, they are showing you gratitude by honoring you. You in turn express your gratitude for the way they've cared for you. What a wonderful thing. That's what we desire. That's what we desire to see. That's what we desire to see. So let's come on down to Ephesians 6. And so much of the New Testament epistles, Paul, Peter, John, half-brother of Jesus, James, Jude, writer of Hebrews, all of the ethical teaching, the moral, the teaching about how we as Christians live, what is it ultimately based on? If not basic principles about the gospel and the fruit of the Spirit and things related particularly to the cross, in terms of just how to obey, what to do, it's an exposition of God's moral law. That's what it is. There's no new law created. There's the exposition of the Ten Commandments. So here Paul is writing this circular letter, the letter to the church at Ephesus, from the best we can understand from church history, and the copies of the letter to Ephesus. There's many copies that were found that didn't say to Ephesus, it just had a blank. Because they wrote a copy of it and they were taking it to the next city, the next town, and then they would write. Well, Paul wanted this to go to Laodicea. Paul wanted this to go to Colossae. So, but he didn't have time to make a bunch of copies. He expected other people to do it. So that's why we call it a circular letter. And so within that circular letter that's going to go out to the churches that Paul has ministered to, one of the basic things he does is expound the Ten Commandments, particularly the last half, after he's talked about the implications of the cross for the Christian life. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. What is he saying? In the Lord. Well, children, and again, y'all aren't really children out here, okay? But if we are talking to our children, our grandchildren, I think here Paul helps us with how to lead them in obedience. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. And then he goes on to quote the promise. So he quotes it right out of Exodus. And then Paul sort of turns the tables a little bit and says, oh yeah, parents. He says fathers, but I think mothers are implied. But fathers are particularly highlighted here. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. So Paul now is not only talking to the children how they must obey, he's telling us as parents how to parent. He tells us what not to do. Don't provoke the children. This is where I should go on with confessing my sins, but the hour's late, so I'm going to have to skip that part. We're not to provoke our children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. You see, parenting, and we're all past this, but we're still grandparents. We still have influence. We have influence on our adult children, the grandchildren, and others in our life. And so we can bring these principles to them. What about the kid that claims he's following Christ but won't obey his parents? Well, we need to remind them, this is what you're to do. What about the kid that is acting like he's incorrigible, stubborn, rebellious? Point him to Christ. Now, there's a lot more that could be said, but I think at this point we'll stop here. All right, let's stand together. Let's close in prayer. Father, even as we hear the words to not provoke children, this dad at least remembers all too well. Far too often, I disobeyed that commandment. I thank you that you have forgiven me. I thank you that my children, who were asked far too many times to forgive their dad, have done so. Father, how we pray again for the children, the grandchildren that are ours, and then in a more extended way, we have influence over Lorraine and Miss Barb and Julie with the children we've sort of adopted as our Sunday school children. And then still the covenant children that are of a younger age in our church. Father, how we pray for them, how we pray you would pour out your grace upon them. Bring them to Christ. If they know the Savior, grow them up in grace. Father, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.